For Sunday, November 11th, 2018, welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Today we are going to hear the Gospel reading Mark 12, 38 through 44, The Widow's Mite. Before we hear Pastor Arnie Berglund's sermon, let's begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, and she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Beloved of God, much grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, I don't know how many times I have, over the course of my ministry, that as a pastor, I have worked to prepare a sermon on this story of the widow's mite. I do know this, that almost every time I've done so, I've used this story as an example of the widow's unbelievable generosity to her church. This passage shows up at a time of the year that for many congregations is the season of stewardship programming. Because of that, it's perfectly understandable and reasonable to make this an opportunity to ask faithful members of your faith family to see the widow's gift, the widow's mite, as something to be emulated, as if such a thing were possible. God's word is a living word. In part, that means that over time, particular passages from Scripture, even the most familiar stories, can speak to us in different ways. I read, for example, the story of David Goliath in a much different way today than I did as a Sunday school student years ago. One of the sources that I looked at for this morning suggested that one could read this passage in terms of the widow's mite, M-I-G-H-T, and not the widow's mite, M-I-T-E. In the story, a woman, a widow of little consequence, brings her gift of little actual real value to put in to the offering at her church. Jesus does not condemn the widow or commend the widow in any way in this passage. Jesus tells this story relating the facts of what he observes sitting there watching people bringing their offering to their church. Neither does Jesus relate what the widow felt about her gift. Instead, we see Jesus offering us a criticism of those in power who were corrupt enough that they would take advantage of the least among them, of people like this widow. This in opposition to faithful leaders who understood that God's repeated will is to care for the widow, the poor, the fatherless, the stranger, and also God's anger at those who deprive them of what they need to live. It makes no sense that Jesus, who is in the middle of warning his disciples about this corrupt leadership, a leadership who would devour, as he says, devour widows' houses, who would suddenly, it makes no sense that he would suddenly interrupt the story with this passage about giving of poor widows. So that's why I think I agree that maybe this isn't so much about the widow's mite as it is about the widow's might. And at the risk of a bad pun, something I'm not averse to, let me put my 2 cents in. When you hear someone speak about putting their 2 cents in, generally it means they have an opinion about something and that perhaps they want you to think that their opinion is not worth much. Let me share my 2 cents worth and then I'll let you decide for yourself. We've heard 2 stories from Scripture this morning that feature the plight or the reality of life as a widow in ancient times. We encounter Elijah coming to the poor widow for something to eat. The widow tells Elijah, "I have nothing baked, only this handful of meal in a jar and a jar and a little oil in a jug, and I am now gathering that together with a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare for myself and my son a meal that I may eat it and then die." Our gospel lesson opens the doors of the temple where we see her 2 cents, her widow's mite put into the offering plate. And both of these stories come from communities that are experiencing great economic disparity. There, the haves control the wealth. The have-nots are left with no social safety net, and they are cast off by their society. Both the Old and the New Testament lift up the plight of those who are cast off, those who are not served by the common good. And in our gospel lesson, Jesus is making what is really a very pointed political statement regarding those who would not see to the welfare of all and who are not serving the common good. And in both of these stories, we can say that we see God at work. Now, we are living in a time of great division. This past week, Americans showed up at the polls to elect leaders. Throughout the country, minimal majorities decided the vast amount of races. Half of us voted one way, half of us voted another. We disagree with one another. There's conversations going on in our country where people can't even begin to talk to one another because of that disagreement. We disagree to the point that we can't seem to even have civil conversations. Well, this much I know to be true. We still have the rich parading around in their robes, and we still have the widows, those in our culture who are cast off, and God is still calling us to pay attention to the poor, the lost, the forgotten, the disenfranchised, the victims of violence. Jesus is still watching. While we are distracted by arguments and divisions, it is Jesus who points out the widow and who calls us to concern ourselves with the common good. So, brothers and sisters, let's set aside picturing the widow in our gospel lesson as someone to be emulated, as a model of stewardship. In all honesty, there really are not many of us who would put ourselves in her position. Yes, she is willing to give all that she has left to an institution that she trusts an institution that gives her hope to a God whose promise she knows. Yes, most of us give what we can and strive to do more, but it's highly unlikely that any of us will ever give it all. And in all honesty, most of us struggle to understand our relationship with our faith commitment and what we have. Certainly, none of us will ever give up what the widow was willing to give. So I don't want to suggest this morning that we be like the widow. If we begin to imagine ourselves in her place, then we're probably no better than the elite who seek to keep up appearances and pretend they are better than she is. If we imagine herself in her place, then perhaps we're no better than the disciples who were much more impressed with the grandeur of the temple that they were watching than with the widow's plight. So let me suggest that this story is really about you and me. Maybe there is a truth here about our ability to ignore the widow, the lost, the disenfranchised. We do that not only because we don't want to be her, but to pay attention to her plight might require of us a greater sacrifice than we're willing to consider. It might mean we have to talk to people that we have difficulty talking to. Instead, if we hold her up as an illustration of great faith and trust, it makes it easy for us to forget who she really is. So this is a story about you and me, and in it we may find a truth about God. In it we may find a way for us to see how faithful people can live in a day like today. How we might respond to the disparity that's in our life, to the disagreements that we have. You see, God sees right through the kind of selfishness that refuses the plight of the less fortunate. God understands that human nature leans towards caring for oneself, for building oneself up first, even at the expense of those who need our help the most. God sees right through our self-attentive ways and our tendency for self-preservation, our constant leaning toward the lure of all that might build us up, especially at the expense of those who need our help the most. So we do not fool God if we do not put our faith to work in ways that remember where Jesus ended up and what Jesus sacrificed for you and me. This last Tuesday, as I watched the election returns, I was taken by this changing map. You saw it. This changing map of the House of Representatives and the Senate. Were the seats red? Were the seats blue? Who was going to have the power? All night long, that was the conversation. Who would have the power? Who would be in charge? In the end, we don't want to be the widow because she has no power. And caught in the midst of people desiring power, millions and millions of dollars have been spent this year to determine who would have the power. People would do anything to have the power, selling out to the highest bidder, telling the most audacious lies, even selling their souls to those who will secure them the best seats in the church and their place of honor in banquets, who will allow them to purchase more long robes and who are willing to sit through long self-congratulatory prayers. Because you see, if you don't have the power when you've been shaped by powerlessness, you have little choice. You have little choice but to place your trust, your hope in the livelihood and your livelihood in those authorities who claim rightly or wrongly that they have your best interests at heart. In the end, I think the widow's might is greater. It is much greater than the power we tend to seek. It's much grander than the greatest temple, a might greater than the most splendid robes, which ultimately are mostly privilege and entitlement in disguise. Because you see, the widow's might is God's might, a might that is known in love and loyalty and sacrifice, in giving and in grace, in dependence and dedication. Jesus is watching. Jesus is calling us to see to the common good. Faithful people, can we find a way to be faithful to that calling, to reach beyond the divisiveness and proclaim a gospel truth to a divided world? Can we find that common ground that's more concerned with common good than with being right? Jesus is watching. Our work remains. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.